What did we miss? Hey, what's up? It's the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek
whole week.
Piper, Lante, speak for yourself. Kyle Toss.
I was here Tuesday for Luke Goody.
That's right, yeah. Seems like an eternity ago.
Literally sat there like Saturday going, when is the last time I did a radio show? I'm like, I don't think I was. No, wait, I was there Tuesday. You got me all week.
We had you for that. We got you this week, yeah, no doubt.
I'm a part-timer, as Cliff says. Today will be, I swear to you, boys, the first, I think it's the first game we've played over 55 degrees, and that it wasn't 48-mile-an-hour wind. Now, I better hold off on that, because at STM, there's always wind, right?
Sure.
I mean, we live in Central Illinois. Yeah, so I cannot
wait. It looks
wait.
And feels like a summer day today.
It does. I'm going to get maybe a little sun. Might go shirtless in the outfield. No, I won't do
there
that.
There you go.
Kyle started
like
laughing.
The bleacher bums at Wrigley. Yeah.
There's just me out
you
there.
You gonna make a cup snake?
You know what? Yeah, I guess I could. Although I don't think
I don't
they
do
approve
that
of that. On
yeah.
the, right. Everybody
big gulps.
Everybody assumes I'm out there doing that, and yeah. I'm like, yeah. I mean, they'll walk out, and I'm like, yeah, I don't have anything for you guys.
I got nothing.
Sorry. Oh well. Sometimes there are games where you feel like you had it.
I bet.
Hey, have you been busy or anything?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I literally sat down right before we started, and I'm like, what happened since I've been gone? And you listed off six things, I think.
Yeah.
Which led to a visit about Calvin.
And one of them wasn't divorce, so I'm lucky. Because
right.
It's not the off season.
Does she wonder about that now? How, before the portal, was this the time where you'd be able to just kind of relax?
Yeah, a little bit. You'd have the gap between the end of the season and the start of AAU, which is usually the end of this month, start of next month. So typically a couple of weeks,
yeah,
kind of refresh. Maybe somebody decides to transfer or what have you. In the old days of transferring.
Yeah, the good old days where you would be at Peach Jam.
Yeah, well,
now you don't even. I don't even think about AAU
right,
bowl anymore.
No. I mean, a lot of people probably shouldn't. It still is going to go on, and just not nearly as big of a deal. But
right.
Yeah, the UIBL during the spring, summer, the huge event middle of the summer is Peach Jam, of course, in July. But back when the only transfers you really looked at were grad transfers,
mm-hmm.
maybe a Mike Thorne's available, and you'd mess around with that recruitment, but. Now it's hot and heavy, and of course you got a coaching carousel, and
oh my goodness,
Illinois now involved in the coaching carousel. No, don't drive off the road. It's not Brad Underwood, but I know everybody knows out there. Chester Frazier on the move.
Okay,
going not official out there yet, but he will be at West Virginia and will no longer be on the sideline here at Illinois. So that really leaked out there on Friday, I believe. Is that after the show, Kyle, or is that going on before the show? I was taking a lot of calls on Friday, wasn't I? Yeah, I think I said.
That was after, right?
It was after?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I did hear the show Friday, and you were taking calls.
I was.
I think you were late, right?
We came on late.
Listen
I was
to me,
the,
like, dogging you. Like, I'm not even, I don't even bother to show up, and I'm like, where's Piper?
We were here at the station, but I was on the phone with somebody, and Kyle's
exactly.
like, oh, I'll just run some ads on the front end. And anywho, so there's a lot to catch up on. Let me briefly go on the rundown, and then we'll dive into the different points here. So you have Chester Frazier leaving. You have Sincere Harris going into the transfer portal.
Oof.
Will Amani follow him, another one of the Chester Frazier recruits that he brought in. You have Kylan Boswell, hometown native, commits to Illinois, as we expected. I crystal balled him at the middle of last week, and he takes one visit and done, so
boom.
He's coming to Illinois, which is a big get. We'll talk about that.
That's awesome.
Kerry Booth finished up a visit at Illinois, went to Colorado State after that. I have put a crystal ball in for somebody.
Oh.
Illinois, I'll just say
okay.
that.
Okay, okay.
Illinois for Kerry Booth, and Dante Maddox, the transfer from Toledo, is currently on campus for the Illini with his official visit.
He's not scared away by Kylan? Or they can play together.
They can play together.
Can I quit? Should I quit saying that?
No,
going
forward? It matters. It matters for certain guys, but I would say Maddox isn't a pure point guard.
Okay.
He played some point guard last year in the absence of Ray J. Dennis at Toledo. So prior to that, an off guard, combo guard. I'd say he's accurately a combo, but Kylan can play off the ball some too. They're both really good shooters. Both can be effective whether they have the ball in their hands or not.
I have questions. I bet Kyle does too. Like on all of those things you just listed, do you mind if I just rapid fire you?
Let's go.
So does Illinois finally have a point guard for the next 2 years with Kylan Boswell? Like I don't have to worry anymore about the saying, well, if we had a point guard.
I'll give you this year.
Good point.
I would hope that it's 2 years. And okay. I think for him, if he's thinking NBA, probably going to take another year after that.
Makes sense.
You never want to assume too much when the player movement allows him, if he wanted to transfer again. But I think in Illinois' mind, they do at least have their point guard for this year. 24/7 has him as the number four point guard in the portal.
Nice.
So former five-star, played on the USA Basketball Junior National Team, started every game, maybe all but one for Arizona this past year, and doesn't turn 19, I think, until Wednesday or Thursday of this week.
Leading me to the next two questions. Why would he transfer from Arizona? I know in today's day and age, you don't need to even answer that. I mean, basically, it's just a given that guys are going to be leaving, whether or not they've played considerable minutes. But obviously, he didn't play much as a freshman. He was so young, and that's going to be another question I have for you.
Yep.
But then last year, he averaged around 10 points, 4 assists, according to your stats. I'm rounding up. Mm-hmm. And a guy that was a big contributor to that Arizona team that was a 2 seed, whereas Illinois was a 3. We know how great Illinois' season was. You were a 3 seed, and Arizona was a 2. I'm not saying Illinois didn't have a great year. You made it past what Arizona did. Right, or at least
they
equivalent.
Went to the Sweet 16, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I guess my question would be: you think there's a dead set reason that he wanted to get out of Arizona, or does he just think it's a better move to go somewhere else, and maybe Illinois is offering more money?
I think a fresh start was good for him.
Okay.
When you dug around that one, and he took a lot of criticism last year for Arizona. If you think back, they beat Duke early in the season. They played a tight one with Purdue. They were at one point on the 1 seed line, now to finish on the 2 seed line. Like, oh, what a huge disappointment. They were a 2, but they had a little bit of inconsistency there in the Pac-12, and Kylan had some real up-and-down moments. Did not finish the season all too well, only scored in double figures one of his last 6 games. It does seem like there are some distractions for him off the floor that he maybe needed to address or still does need to address, and just kind of needs to refocus and recommit to his career. So I think that it can. I don't know. I'm not saying this is the reason that he came to Illinois,
sure,
but you've got a lot of family in the area. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that his family, who's been living on the West Coast, they moved to California right before his freshman year of high school, and to my knowledge, stayed in California while he was at Arizona. It wasn't too far of a drive over there to see his games, but I would imagine they come back to Champaign, both parents from the Champaign Urbana area. So to get him around a little bit more family, just to give him a fresh scenery. And then I think also from a basketball fit standpoint, number one, the relationship's really strong with Jeff Alexander, worked that recruitment hard out of
awesome.
High school with Brad, who's done a really good job with guards. And they didn't have a point guard last year, but they have had Io and also Trent Frazier and whatnot. So I think also, you know, putting him in a little bit more of ball screen situations and allowing him to really take the next step as a point guard, I think for the most part it just seemed like he was really waffling between staying at Arizona or going into the portal. And if he did go in the portal, I think he had a pretty good idea. And I think the results now point to that if he was going in the portal, he was going to come back home and go to Illinois, and Illinois was able to make that thing a quick recruitment. And I mentioned it on Friday. He had interest from a lot of schools.
I bet.
He really wanted to open it up, go on a full visit tour, really dive into a number of different options. I mean, Baylor, Creighton, Alabama, Texas. There were a lot of schools that reached out to him, but he seemed pretty dead set on Illinois once going into the portal.
Now, admittedly, I don't know what Arizona's got coming back. I don't know that roster that well. Obviously, Kyle, I'm sure, studied it last night at like 10:45. But he has to look at this situation in Illinois to know he's going to be one of the, if not the guy, right? And that probably would help.
Ball in the hand for sure.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to want to get a alpha on the wing, I think. Still get a big-time wing. Now, it was easy, and I'm not saying it's done, to point to AJ Store. That one just seems to be very complicated, and one that there's a really high ask for whatever suitor is going to bring him in. So I think Illinois, I wouldn't say they're out on that one. They're just operating a little bit more delicately and, right, and maybe not putting all their eggs in that basket and willing to search for some different options in case that one's not going to work out. So I think there would still be, you know, there's still, what, 15 days left in this month where guys can go in the portal. So that can present more opportunities where,
sure,
you can get a star wing, you could get, but yeah, I think Kylan, in terms of being one of the focal points of this team, also having the ball in his hands, and yeah, he's got a chance to be an all-league guard if he plays up to his potential.
Because I have my name on the show, I wasn't here for you to talk about Trey White. What does he, now that you know Boswell's here, now that you know, is it Jake Davis?
Jake
is that
Davis, yep.
Now you kind of get a sense with that. You know kind of Sincere is gone. We worry that Amani might be gone. You feel good about Booth. Where does Trey White kind of fit in that? Like, are we literally just adding our starting lineup right now as we go? Or obviously, Merez Johnson, a chance that to be in that starting lineup. Who am I forgetting? I'm sure.
Luke Goody.
Yeah.
Ty Rogers.
Mm, Ty. So is Trey White, fill me in on him a little bit. Shooter at all?
Not a big-time shooter.
Okay.
More so of a good athlete. 6'7", was a highly touted prospect coming out of high school. At USC as a freshman, averaged about 9-10 points a game, I think 5 rebounds. He kind of is that physical forward that's either a 4-man or a 3-man. So he's kind of in that mix, depending on how big you want your lineup and how you want your shooting out there. So I think that he'll be someone that's good on the offensive glass, that likes to back you down in the mid-post.
Mm.
And not saying he's been Marcus Damask.
No, by any means,
because his passing numbers have not been, his assist rates have not been very high. So in terms of making others around him better, that hasn't necessarily been a strength of his. But he could be an athletic driver to the basket. He has flashed, especially a mid-range jumper.
Okay.
The three hasn't been the most efficient. Now, I think that playing on a better team, you're playing on a train wreck of a Louisville squad, and I think he had the ball in his hands more than obviously he will at Illinois. Maybe some open catch and shoot looks when some guys like Boswell, like a wing, whether it's Maddox, attract some attention away from him.
Sure.
But defensively too, he didn't really guard anybody, at least based on what I had heard. I didn't watch a lot of Louisville basketball last year, but I had heard that he didn't guard a lot of people, but that with some renewed commitment, accountability, being in a winning culture, it sounds like they expect him to be a pretty competitive defender because he's got good measurables, good size, decent athleticism, and a guy that should be hungry to maximize his potential.
I'm scurrying here because I want to get a name in my head before I ask you this because I want to know if this is the perfect comp for Trey White, okay?
Yep.
It's pulling up now, and it didn't pull up the right thing. Is he the long-haired dude from Nebraska?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
The bushy hair.
Yeah, what's that guy's name? Oh,
wait. I just had the roster and clicked on the wrong thing. I just do everything wrong.
You stumped Kyle, which never happened.
That is
crazy. Wait. No, it's Alec.
Yeah.
Josiah Alec.
That's it. I mean, could he be that guy? He didn't shoot a lot from the outside at all. He would get you a couple of dunks a game. He seemed to be fairly decent defensively. Mm-hmm. I can remember going against Renew, from Indiana a couple of times and kind of holding his own. I wondered that when I heard about Trey White and read what you had said about him, I was wondering, like, is that the kind of comp for that kid?
I see Alec here. You look, 7.5 points, 5.5 rebounds last year. I mean, that wouldn't be
6'8", 230.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too crazy if he came in and did that. Now, I think his scoring potential is a little bit higher if he can get more out of his game. I mean, he put up, 12, 13 a game at Louisville last year. Again, you're talking about higher volume of shots.
Sure.
So I think that his shot total will go down. You hope his efficiency goes up, just kind of in a better situation. But they do think, that being the Illini staff, and after his first year at USC, he was kind of starting to be on the NBA radar as a potential draft pick. Not saying he could have been a one and done or anything, but had he taken the next step, then he could have really put himself in a position to to make the jump at some point to the professional level. So last year didn't help him, but if he can maximize what was once a five-star prospect out of high school and get the most out of himself, then maybe he is a higher ceiling guy than Alec. But I get what you're saying in terms of the physicality and a nice role piece.
I feel like Jeremy Warner at a press conference. I'm just asking all the questions. Kyle, if you want to jump in, go ahead. Until Pipes gets there and Wagner, and then you guys dominate. Uh-huh. So my question would be, does Illinois, without you knowing, does Illinois have the amount of money still to add an AJ Store, NIL-wise?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Could that be just a matter of you want this much, we're not willing to quite pay you that much, but we can offer you quite a bit, plus here's the ball.
Yeah. Kyle, you want to answer that? Direct all AJ Store questions to Kyle now. He's the
is he the expert?
He's my rep for that one. No, I'm I think that, and I've said this, I don't think Illinois has any problem giving him Terrence Shannon Jr. level money and a Terrence Shannon Jr. level role. And we're talking probably $700,000 to $750,000. And we're talking about the ball as the alpha on offense, a guy that put up like 16 points a game last year at Wisconsin.
I'm okay with that.
And I like the idea, if you were to get a Store, I think that Boswell's a great point guard to have with him because he can be a spot-up shooter. He can be someone that when Store is trying to make his move off the dribble and get into the lane, Boswell's a kick-out option. Dante Maddox is a high-level shooter if you get him from Toledo. So from the basketball fit standpoint, from the idea of come just – we developed Terrence Shannon into what he became. We helped develop Io DeSumo. It's close to home. You were once committed here. You're familiar with Brad Underwood. There are a lot of reasons where AJ Store, I don't want to say should end up at Illinois, but there's a definite pull there,
right,
and they have the money to do that. I think when you hear about some of the asks as far as he – NIL like $1 million maybe plus. There's some other things that I think that you know that recruits necessarily want, and it's just something to evaluate. It's something I think. I think also to the point is you're trying to read the mental makeup of a recruit, of his situation, and you want the locker room chemistry to be really good. You want guys on the same page who are about winning, who aren't bigger than the team. And I'm not saying that AJ is in the wrong state of mind. I actually think that a lot of this negotiation is being handled by his agent and his mom versus AJ. But, I think Illinois
you
right
never
now,
want to hear that, do
no,
you?
No, but I
think that that is happening in a lot of situations. Like I know that if we would have said agent a handful of years ago, number one, it would have been illegal. 5 years ago, but the reality is like everybody has an agent.
Sure.
So that's what they're meant to do. These are now professional like negotiations.
Yeah.
Although you do have more parent involvement.
I was gonna say, I don't think the word agent worried me.
Yeah. The mom. Yeah.
To me,
we're on the same page.
To
there.
Me, it's like, listen, if mom and dad want to jump in and help out, I think that's wonderful. I feel like I would with my children. But if you hired an agent, I'd be like, hey, I'm stepping back now.
Yeah.
Have at it, right? But, it's an interesting situation where you don't want to overspeak. Obviously, it's one of those situations. So,
and they have a lot of leverage right now. So,
sure.
They can see what they can get out there.
Dante Maddox now. First of all, has Toledo been good the last 2 years? Because they've had like two of the best guards in the country when it comes to Ray J. Dennis and now Dante Maddox.
Mm-hmm.
So you say Maddox is a really good shooter.
Yeah.
So if you were to pull Boswell and Store, which in my mind you have your one and two from the old system. Well, in the old system, it'd be point guard, shooting guard. So you got your 1-2. Where does Maddox fit, or is it just one of those think back to 05? Yeah. I mean, I don't want to compare this team to 05, but where you had Luther and Darren and D, and you had plenty of guards, but you also had plenty of success with the ball being able to land in each other's hands enough to get shots up.
Mm-hmm.
Is Dante Maddox – should I be – I'll put it this way. He's a name that I've seen you write about for a long time now. And he's never a name that I get excited about because I don't know much about him like I do AJ Storr, right? Like I do Kylan Boswell. I didn't know anything about Trey White. I'll be honest with you there. So you taught me everything I needed to know about him. Same with Jake Davis. But a guy like Dante Maddox, I feel like I should be more excited about the prospect of getting him. Is that right?
I think the Illini staff is very much prioritizing him as a guy that could be a huge addition because he shoots it, I think, at the level or this is hard to say exactly, but he could be Alphonso Plummer-like in terms of the way that he shoots it. Like he, over the last 2 years at Toledo, about 42% from three between those two seasons. And that's a high volume. That's not a guy that occasionally takes a couple threes. He's shooting about five threes a game at 42% from three and has really, really deep range. So someone that can come off screens and everything like that. And then he's more than that, too. He's not just a shooter. He's shown last year that he can make some plays in the pick and roll, could do some things off the dribble, likes to push it in transition. Defensively, his metrics are pretty good. And he's 6'2". He's got a long wingspan, so he's able to play a little bit bigger than he actually is. I think with Boswell, too, Boswell is a thick, strong guard who maybe needs to – I'm not saying that he needs to drop 20 pounds or anything, but they might try to lean him up a tad to make him a little bit quicker, maybe more bouncy. But
little D will.
Yeah, maybe.
A little bit. Got to break his jaw.
Don't break his jaw first.
I need to break both of mine.
Yeah. So,
do you have two jaws? I guess right and left. Huh? Yeah,
bottom jaw. Top, I don't know. I don't know how that works. Anyways, and AJ Storr is 6'7".
Yeah.
So like he could play the three. You could play two guards.
Yeah,
Storr at the three, and whether you're going to start Kerry Booth off the start of his career, if you get him 6'10", stretch four, or you get another four man, maybe Trey White plays the. I think. If you were to get Maddox and Storr with Boswell, Trey White at 6'7 is probably playing the four a decent amount too. So I think that can work. And it gives you flexibility. If you want to play a bigger lineup, you can. And maybe slot Maddox out and run Kylan at the one, Storr at the two if you were to get Storr in that situation. Or you can run with two guards and then play AJ or a different scoring wing at the three.
It's funny when you – and I know there's not that much of a difference, but there is a difference. When you look at last season's team, you knew going in they were going to out-rebound you. You knew that they could do some damage underneath. I mean, you had guys like Gary that could step out but could also go and slash. You had Coleman, obviously, that could do that but probably preferred to stay outside. And then you look at this team, and you said it right with the flexibility. If you're able to add, obviously, Boswell with Storr and Maddox and the flexibility you have – you talk about going into March. We always talk about you got to have good guards to win in March. I mean, obviously, Illinois had that with DeMask and Shannon this year and others. You know, Goody always comes to play in March. There's never a doubt there. But you look at the flexibility there that you would have, and then you got a guy like Ty that you could kind of plug and play one through four. You know he's going to rebound, which you're going to need next season, I think. Nothing against Merez. He might come in here and dominate a lot more than I thought, but, you know, he's a freshman, right, coming into a high Division I program, and you worry a little bit about how he immediately affects your program rebounding and such, although if there's anybody that can do it, it'll be Merez Johnson. But, I mean, just the flexibility and the excitement you'd have on that outside. And plus, you put, you know, you got Maddox and Goody in the game at the same time. Now you got two high leverage shooters that you cannot leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a big thing about like UConn. I know that they had everything, but like what Cam Spencer gave them was a guy that could literally just sit on the outside. And I know he could drive. He showed that against Purdue, he showed that against Illinois. But you had a guy that you had to take one of your five and absolutely be on him wherever he was. And to have that guy with like a Luke Goody to bring a defender out or a Dante Maddox, you're saying now is a high volume shooter or a high efficient shooter, to have guys like that that teams can't sag off on anymore, right? I mean, and that could be huge. Of course, you'd still have the same issue with Ty next season unless he really gets it, you know, gets after it. And I'm sure he is trying to make himself a better shooter. But, man, that excites me with the flexibility of those guys. I was going to ask one more about Boswell. What was the advantage of him reclassifying and being so young? I mean, you look at him, I don't care what you say, being that young makes a difference. And so if you're Illinois and you're lucky enough to get him for the next two seasons, you're getting a kid that is going to come into his own. That'd be my guess.
Yeah,
Not that he didn't show a lot of that with flashes last year, but I feel like, you know, when you get to be 19, 20, his junior and senior year, which sounds so odd. Last year we were talking about 24-year-olds, right? I mean, that's the funny part with Guerrier and DeMass, 23-year-olds, et cetera. But you got a guy like Boswell who, you know, if he's – and obviously he's got the body type. You know, he hasn't needed that to have that. But if he really just kind of comes into his own his junior year and has a huge year or even stays luckily enough through his senior year, I think Illinois could be in great shape. But – What is the advantage? I know guys have done that before, and yeah. I've read multiple articles with you through the years about guys reclassifying and such. I don't understand why you'd want to be younger. I just don't. Like, I've always, you know, I went on that rampage last week. How I didn't, you know, get anything going until older. I just don't know why you'd want to be younger in college as opposed to older. But I guess, you know, I'm sure there was a good reason for that for him.
No, it's a good question. I think that at the time, he probably was thinking, and it's been a handful of years since I think it was 2022 when he made his commitment, but the idea of a five-star coming in that he probably wouldn't spend 4 years in college.
Yeah,
he wasn't really worried about wasting,
quote-unquote,
wasting a year or burning a year early, that the back end of that eligibility, he probably wouldn't be there anyway. So you get on a college campus, college weight program, get familiar and acclimated with the system. So maybe even if that first year you come in isn't quote unquote your year, it might be a little bit more of a fast track to taking on a bigger role, a starting role where you should be a freshman. You've already been in the program. So,
right.
But yeah, no, it's also, I think that in some people's minds, and I'm sure also like it helps them fast track to the NBA, but that's not always the case. Like that actually a lot of reclass guys in that type of a sense who are that young. Like I remember Christian Lander at Indiana was a five-star who came in a year early, was supposed to be a senior in high school. He fell off the map.
He did.
Never did anything at Indiana. Now I'm not obviously saying that Kylan hasn't done anything at Arizona, because that's not true, but some of these guys come in and it really smacks them in the face and they struggle some. And Kylan's had some of his struggles this past year, but some I think have forgotten how young he is. Like I've said this what feels like 100 times now, but Trent Frazier was 19 before his freshman year started at Illinois. Whew. Before that season, he turned 19.
My God.
Kylan's going to turn 19 this week and be a junior next season. So, yeah, from a maturity standpoint, from a physical maturity, from a mental maturity, from just the game and how much you learn and whatnot, like, that's a great thing for Illinois, though, like, you got him the second time.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the 2 years that you could have him now will potentially and should far outweigh the 2 years that Arizona had him first.
That's a good point.
Similar to the years that Texas Tech had Terrence versus the years that you had Terrence.
Yep.
So in that sense, you're hoping that's another one where you caught him at the right time.
Goes both ways, right? Somebody's going to get sincere maybe for his better years.
Yep.
And
yep.
I mean, obviously, Bill had a good one about how Big Def said, I feel like the upside of youth is purely NBA potential, leaves you more options later where you can still raise the stock. And I agree with that. All right, I know Lance wants to hear about Booth.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't asked you about him, and we really haven't done our due process on Chester Frazier.
We need to talk about Chester Frazier, yeah.
So I still got plenty of questions here. I mean, when
you
let me off for a week.
You're going to wear me out.
Yeah, I come back with a lot of questions.
Sorry, I'm right tired.
But I do want to touch on those two because I know people have weighed in about that. Matt also wants to know, does Boswell have some booty ball in him?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, somebody at 217 wanted to know about DGL, Dre Gibbs Lawhorn, obviously, and then Nico Moretti. So I still got more questions, and so does the text line, the U of I Line of Lake text line. So
fair enough.
Your job is not done.
All right, let me take a take a breath.
Get you some water.
Yeah, I do need that for sure. If you want to weigh in, I know a lot of you have, as Lon just mentioned, but 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and Lake text line. What do you think about Kylan Boswell coming back to Champaign? Any questions, comments on that one? And plenty of other topics, Illini basketball related. Chester Frazier on the way out. That leaves a spot open for an assistant spot. Since the assistant role to come in, who's who's the target you want to see? Who do you think it'll be? A lot to respond to, so we'll get to those along the way. Before we catch a break and we get back to more of this, Lon's got some work to pay the bills.
And can I say how nice it is to have a guy like Derek Piper here to answer these questions? I mean, it is wonderful. And can I say how nice Busey is to just make things easy? They encourage you to clean up finances right now. 7 steps, evaluate, pay down debt, right? We all think about that and we all try to do it. Put pen to paper, sit down one night literally and just write out how much can I put this month to this bill to get it paid down. Review your budget. A lot can change in a year. There's no doubt about that. Check your credit report. Sign up for e-statements and paperless billing. I know for you young kids, that's simple. Some of us old people like to still get them. Set up automatic bill pay. I'm actually still young enough, I guess, to do that. I do pay all of my bills online. Consolidate your accounts. Maybe close accounts you rarely use. If you have a card out there for some store you don't ever go to again, close that dang thing. And download the Busey mobile app to manage your finances anytime, anywhere. That mobile app allows you to view balances, transfer funds, pay bills, and, of course, deposit checks. And the Busey bill payment. See and pay all your bills online. No more checks to write or postage to buy. Get started on your spring cleaning today with the expertise and innovative products and services at Busey. Visit Busey.com for more resources or stop by one of their many convenient locations. Busey, member FDIC. Nailed it. Thank you.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120. Relax. Call back
217-359-7293. We are celebrating today with an outstanding college relations sergeant. Her name is Sam Penland. You are working, making people safe, helping people, talking to people, and you're giving a positive influence like you receive. What do you want people to know finally about police?
I think because people often see me and I appear to look young, they don't realize that I've been in policing since 2004. And so when I came in, policing tactics were very different. There has been a huge shift, and the reason why I really focus on my style now is because I have seen card policing and what works. And so some people might think, oh, well, you're too soft, or we're not fighting crime the way we used to. We are. This doesn't mean that we're not enforcing laws, but there's a difference now with how we can help people. Relax. Call back
217-359-7293. The sounds of spring and the smell of flowers in the air, they all add up to Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team. They become your favorite through quality service and professionalism. Spring Green will service and maintain your lawnscape with seeding, aeration, fertilizing, disease, and insect control. Over 32 years of satisfied customers reflect their commitment to Champaign-Urbana and the Mattoon-Charleston area. Call Spring Green at 217-359-2111 or online at spring-green.com.
You need the world's fastest mower to create your free time. With Dixie Chopper, what you got to look at is the warranties. Dixie Chopper, all of their models, you're getting a 3-year unlimited hours bumper-to-bumper warranty. That's on the whole thing. Then your commercial units, you get up to a 3-year no-hour limit or 5-year 3,000-hour limit on the drivetrain. So that'd be your engine, your two gearboxes, transmissions, and all that.
Well, that sounds pretty solid.
Yes, it is. Yep. Things break, and even if it's built well like a Dixie Chopper, you need to have that covered, and you get what you pay for, basically.
And I can go see Andy and get on one of those things, couldn't I?
Yes, you can. You can go see Andy at Dedicated Diesel at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana. You can reach him through Dedicated Equipment on Facebook or call him at 217-328-0562. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Use well, too. Tim Onstott, Gale Ferex Trucking, Dedicated Diesel, and Championship Barbecueologist.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. Next week on an all-new Law and Order.
Order! Order! We convene here for case 217, Spring Green versus Weeds. Spring Green, the floor is yours.
The weeds are infectious. The weeds steal the beauty from your lawn. We offer personalized lawn care, a mid-season checkup, and a simple and transparent process. Just click on to spring-green.com for a quote.
Okay, Spring Green wins. Weeds, you're out.
That's spring-green.com.
Bring on spring. Get the light and delicious Greek pizza. Topped with premium mozzarella, feta, new sliced Kalamata olives, diced tomatoes, mild peppers, and red onions. It's the best Detroit-style pizza around with a crispy, crunchy, cheesy crust to the edge. Hurry in and enjoy a large Greek Detroit-style pizza for $16.99. Code word Greek. Jets. Better because it has to be.
That up.
We'll go to the table with that, see what they say. Can you imagine what some of these negotiations are like?
I want a membership at Lincolnshire. I want a membership at Urbana Country Club, Champaign Country Club, Tri-City Country Club in Villa Grove, Marshall, Illinois Country Club. I mean, no, I can't imagine what they're asking. And do you blame them?
No, I get it. I get it.
We don't have to like it, but they certainly can maximize their ability. And we're talking about just any recruit that is is in the portal and you're one of the high-value recruits.
For sure.
I mean, again, here's what's funny. We're not allowed to not like it, right? The sentiment is players should get paid.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the majority of my life, players didn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they did, it was under the table. I was at a situation at SIU where I saw plenty of things that I would never bring up. And I don't mean anything that would even be an NCAA issue. You would see plenty of things out there for the player. The players lived a good life. I'll put it that way.
I would think so.
And I always got to the point where I felt bad for players because when they graduated, they went from being the toast of town to, you know, maybe that first year, maybe the second year out, maybe the third year out, still known. And then after that, I just always thought to myself, I felt bad for him. Like, you would feel bad for him because it's like, They were who everybody wanted to talk to. Everybody wanted to, you know, visit with. They're the one you wanted to have a beer with. You know, and then all of a sudden it was kind of like, oh, is he here? Oh, okay. Well, okay. You know, I'll try to go over and say hi. You know, I would always kind of feel bad for him.
That's right. Yeah. I get what you're saying for sure.
So, all right, I'm wasting time. Do you want to start with Booth?
Yeah, let's get to that. You had some texts about that.
You like Kerry Booth.
I know Illinois likes him, his potential for sure. A guy that was just 18 years old last year. 6'10", can stretch the floor. Didn't shoot it great as far as a percentage-wise, but think that he will develop into a pretty good shooter.
Okay.
They see some similarities. I'm not saying he's going to be Coleman Hawkins. I don't know that he's the same passer, facilitator, but long, stretch guy that can shoot it from the outside and has some skill to him for sure.
I brought up Calvin Booth, his dad, to you, and you went back and kind of looked at the stats.
Unbelievable.
The first thing I said to you was, is he going to block shots like Calvin Booth? Because I felt like he blocked 8 a game. I swear to God, one time he blocked eight shots against Illinois. But you went back and looked. He was Defensive Player of the Year.
He was. 1998 in the Big Ten. That was his junior year at Penn State. So he played 4 years in state college and made 83 starts. His junior year, he averaged 12 points, 6.5 rebounds, and 4.5 blocks per game.
Wow.
That was when he was the Defensive Player of the Year. Following year, his senior year, 15 points a game, about 9 rebounds, 3.5 blocks a game. So every year, he averaged at least 3.5 blocks a game, which is big time for an era where the pace of play wasn't as high. So
right. You
didn't have those are really gaudy shot blocking numbers for sure. And he played a number of years in the NBA as well. Currently the GM for the Denver Nuggets.
That's awesome. So, I didn't realize that until all of this transpired with Curry. Yeah, I mean, he was a guy that you didn't necessarily like worry too much that he was going to dominate you on the offensive end, but you knew he was changing things on defense. And of course, back then, 6'11 was huge. Mm-hmm. Now you got Zach Edey at 7'4. You know, it was just and Klingon at 7'2. It's like, oh, 6'11. Go be the point guard, would you?
Right.
So, but you feel confident about Booth, and he's
a
kid that could come in. And now I said to you, this is funny because I know this isn't how it works, but Kylan Boswell could give you 2 years.
Yep.
Kerry Booth could give you 3. Jake Davis could give you 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who am
Trey
I forgetting?
White, Trey White,
you 2. Maddox would be a one and done.
One. Store, if you got him, that would be 2.
Wouldn't it be incredible to have a deal where it's like, and again, you don't know that. You can't guarantee a 2-year commitment. So wouldn't it be incredible next season at this time we're talking about this same nucleus coming back and maybe throwing, you know, a couple off the portal in there, but that's not how it works anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I told you, we were talking about this a little off the air, with the way Brad Underwood has worked his magic and this staff in the portal era has been pretty darn good dating back to Plummer and others. I think it all started with Sam McLaurin. Let's be honest. Coastal Carolina, Sam McLaurin back in the day before it was cool to do it. But I joke.
John Gross's legacy.
Exactly.
Bringing Sam McLaurin.
He did get him to the NCAA tournament. He was on that tournament
true.
Team. So
that's true.
Sam McLaurin will always kind of go down as a maybe the best transfer. No, I'm kidding. I know there's others. But
Rivante Rice is pretty good.
He was pretty good. Yeah. Marcus Griffin was pretty good back in the day. Kenny Battles.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty damn good.
He was
good.
All right.
Back in the day. So, obviously.
Terrence Shannon's pretty good.
Right? All of a sudden, McLaurin's just down on the third team now, looking up. Honorable mention. But while I don't want to continue to do this every year, I feel like we're in a good spot as Illinois fans to be able to do it.
Yeah.
With the track record that this staff has shown.
Well, and they continue to just add on to it with Terrence here recently playing at like an All-American level with Marcus DeMast to literally outplay. And he was really, really good at Southern, as Lon knows better than anybody, mm-hmm. but his numbers on paper were better at Illinois this past year than they were his best season in Carbondale, which is crazy. So to put transfers in position to be really successful, that's a big deal. And I think just the way that this team was able to mesh together and it does it go it's a two-way street. You got to be able to evaluate the transfers that will be able to fit into your culture and not be a locker room problem and will be about winning and everything. But I think that Quincy Guerrier, Marcus DeMask, Justin Harmon would give very good reviews, Terrence Shannon, about their time at Illinois.
Yes.
So I think that just the on paper stuff, Alfonso Plummer was at least an honorable mention All Big Ten guy, if not a third teamer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Kyle can effort that for me, but you have Terrence who's been a first teamer. Marcus DeMask was a first teamer.
Wow.
Matthew Meyer was a all league guy too. I mean, just the ability to get the most out of these transfers and then to have the Elite Eight run, because that's sometimes more than just a cherry on top, but to be able to go out there and say, hey, I know you haven't been to the tournament yet, or Dante Maddox, you went to the tournament 1 year at Cal State Fullerton. You lost in the first round. Hey, come for your last year. Be a part of us. Put up your stats. Put up your numbers. We'll develop you. But let's go on a run in the tournament that you can really finish out your collegiate career with. That's another big selling point too.
Could you hire Marcus DeMask to just be your lower level recruiter? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's the
transfer
guy that
relations.
Exactly. Yeah. Boom. You just nailed it. To where he could go out to everybody that's in that same kind of spot as an SIU person and say, well, here's what it did to me, did for me. I mean, you just kind of base it on that. All right, Chester Frazier. I know we're way overdoing the lead here. How much does it hurt to lose Chester Frazier? Not only him being able to take Chester and maybe Imani Hansberry with him. And did it surprise you? What, I mean, this came out of nowhere to me. And is there some issues there?
Yeah, there's a lot to digest with this. We haven't heard anything both from the program and from Chester yet. It's not been officially announced that Chester's taking the West Virginia assistant job, but it will be at some point. And Illinois will have a vacancy there. So how much will it hurt? I think it will be determined based on who Illinois fills that spot with. They're going to take some big swings, as I understand it. I think, just to say it flat out, I know Jeremy and I talked about it on our podcast today for Illini Inquirer, so I might as well say it here. Orlando Antigua trying to bring him back.
Uh-huh.
And someone that was at Kentucky with Cal, left in 2021, has been paid as one of, if not the top paid assistant in college basketball. So it will take some money, but I think Illinois is – Josh Whitman and just the backing that this program has, that they will dabble at the top of the list for someone they really want. And they tried to give Orlando 1.2 or whatever it was to keep him. I actually had been told that he took a little bit less money to go to Kentucky.
Yeah.
So I know that his wife really wanted to go back there. His daughter was going to school there.
Mm.
Now that Cal's gone and they're not going to stay in Lexington, there's a little bit less of an appeal or a little bit less of a draw to stay with Calipari, in my opinion. Now, that's his guy.
But, yeah.
He's one of those, like, top of your wish list, shoot your shot.
I agree.
Type. So if you get him, you probably upgraded. No offense to Chester.
Yeah, like, no.
I think Orlando's one of the best assistants in the country. So as far as the other stuff,
I feel like Chester's going to be a head coach one day.
Yeah.
Whereas Orlando tried it, obviously, and it didn't go well.
Right.
excuse me. I feel like on the assistant level of what a great assistant could do, mm-hmm. I feel like the ceiling is much higher with Orlando. And again, not a bash on Chester. Yeah. I think Chester is going to be a great head coach one day.
I agree with you. I know I have a lot of respect for Chester. I think that he's a really good coach, and I would expect him to do well at West Virginia. There are differences in terms of kind of how Illinois is operating right now with the portal and recruiting over some guys that Chester brought in. And I think that there was some frustration there for Chester. And just also, as far as a fit goes with, I think Chester would rather build it via the high school recruiting, and Illinois is more portal oriented. Not saying that Chester can't get guys in the portal, but admittedly it's, you got to be careful with what you hear after the fact or as it's happening, because there's always some narrative and spin that gets put out there. Like, there is some stuff like, hey, it was mutual. And I think that if I were, based on what I know, and if I were to kind of say it, I think that Chester was unhappy and left. I'm not saying that, I don't think Illinois begged him to stay. I think that they were okay with moving in a different direction. But was it a surprise? There's been whispers of the last couple of weeks that, hey, there's going to be a staff change that I tried to dig into when Jace Butler decommitted, and I didn't get it from anybody. No one said, I talked to Chester myself, and he didn't say that he was leaving or anything like that. So I just kind of shrugged it off and said, I don't know that to be the case, but obviously it's been brewing here for at least a little bit, and he's officially making the move. Sincere's going to the portal, which isn't surprising. And then I would be surprised if Imani doesn't ultimately go as well.
I got to leave at 4 for a baseball game. I apologize. I think everybody's used to it by now. I don't think anybody even – they wonder why I'm here, to be honest. They're like, who's this guy? Where's Kyle at? And Kyle's coming up next hour. But, Kyle, you're going to have to ask a lot of questions here, because you need to keep peppering pipes. How important is this spot with Chester? How important is it to get it right at that assistant? Because it feels like, in my mind – this is – I'm coming from my perspective – I feel like Jeff Alexander has taken a step up when it comes to recruiting. I felt like that was one thing that we worried about. I did. I don't know about you. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I worried a little bit because of, he doesn't have a huge – he has a connection in Illinois and probably in the Midwest, but I worried about, can he go to the East Coast? Can he go to the West Coast? Well, Jeff has proven to do that on top of Italy and Croatia and every other spot I want to attend or I want to visit. So I feel like Jeff's making a step. You see what Tim Anderson has done. I mean, he's been rock solid, and I feel like, when it comes to a Chicago player especially, which is really what I wanted all along, get somebody like Jimmy Collins that will recruit Chicago. and just say you recruit Chicago. I know times have changed now where it's not, it seems as much. In fact, I'd rather win the second recruitment like we would with a guy like AJ Storr.
Well, although, did with Shannon, a guy from Chicago.
And Shannon, yeah. I'd almost rather win the second one, although Storr was pretty damn good with Wisconsin last year. So I guess my question is, knowing what you've gotten, Anderson and Alexander, and of course Brad, how important, I think Chester made like $750 in terms of finances, if we're wondering. I think it was around $750,000, which shocked me at the time. How important is this spot?
It's pretty important, yeah. If you think back to Brad filling out that roster for his assistants, Chester was his first after that's Orlando, right, and Chen left, and Gentry ultimately cycled out as well, and that's pretty well compensated, $750,000. Of course, I'm mentioning Antigua, you'll have to go higher than that to be able to get him, but I'm not saying that it's going to be him for sure, but I think that's where they're going to swing first. But yeah, I think that at this point you always want three very capable recruiters to go out there and tap into different areas of the country or different connections. And the days of maybe just having somebody who's only X's and O's and whatnot, that probably doesn't exist as much. It can, but it would be nice to have somebody that could really come in and be another avenue to go get talent. So I think it's important for sure. And not to say that if there was somebody that was a little bit more proven or just bringing new ideas from an X's and O's standpoint, but let's say if it is Antigua, boy, what a time for Merez Johnson to come to town. To have the big man coach with Adam Fletcher, and you think about Kerry Booth as well as a kind of a raw 18-year-old that has a lot of upside. But
what is Merez Johnson going to look like after? He's already ready.
Yeah. A tank. Yeah, he'd probably look like a tank.
Oh, my. He'll be like bodybuilding.
Yeah.
If the NBA doesn't work out. I mean, he reminds me, who was that linebacker that came at the same time as Jay Lehman? Martez Wilson.
Martez, yeah.
Who was just like, Jay Lehman's like, dude, he was like a magazine.
Right.
You know, you looked at him in the weight room and you're like, what? Like, I'm supposed to compete against that?
Yep.
But no, I mean, Merez is already a big kid.
Yep. Mm. So I think it's important.
Yeah.
It's important to have the ability to continue to recruit someone that can help develop players as well.
Amen. I know
TA is said to be very good in that. Jeff right now is a big man coach. If Orlando comes back, I'm sure Jeff would slide to specialize on the wing as well. But I think there's flexibility there, and we'll see if they can take a big swing and connect.
Poor Derek.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you went from being on the road all the time to being at home constantly on the phone now. Your daughter doesn't even know who you are.
Hey, she does at 3 in the morning. She did this morning at 6 in the morning. So she knows me some for sure.
I kid, of course. Nellie's good?
She's doing well,
and
yeah.
Big brother's handling it fine.
Big brother's about to turn 2 here in a couple of weeks, which is crazy.
4'3", and he's 2 years old. With the mullet.
He's a lot of fun.
Exactly.
No, we got a lot done this weekend. My uncle was in town from San Diego, so me, my brother, and him went and played 18 at U of I.
Sweet.
And I had 3 pars, Lon, by the way.
Oh,
so
man.
Not bragging too much. People out there, like, 3 pars, it's a bad day.
Right. For us, that would be incredible. Were you checking your phone after every shot?
No, I made a point. We went early in the morning. Mm. Like, I'm early. Visits are going to end on Sunday. I should be good. So I put that away. My dad turned 60. We celebrated that yesterday.
Happy birthday.
And we did our first family pictures with Nelly yesterday morning. Aww. So
did she smile? Was she?
She did some.
Yeah.
I had two. We did it out at Lake of the Woods, and my son's obsessed with squirrels and being outside. And he's like a dog. I'm chasing him around like a dog, like a loose dog through Lake of the Woods. So. Anywho, it's 4. You got to get out of here.
Yeah, I got to get out of here. Thanks,
good
boys.
Seeing you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, literally showed up and left again. But
it's all right. It's all good.
Friday, I'm here all day.
It's good. Go watch some baseball.
Let's go.
All right. Kyle and I will be back to talk more Illinois basketball, recruiting, Chester Frazier, whatever you want. Hit us up on the text line, 217-359-2255. Got to catch a break. We'll be back. This is The Drive.